Good evening, guys. It's good to be here with you guys again.
弟兄姐妹晚安，很高兴今天再次有机会能够跟大家聚集。
Yep, thank you for, I know you guys, most of you guys have been online this whole day. And again, it's a privilege to be sharing this hour with you guys.
我知道许多弟兄姐妹今天花很多的事情时间在网上，很高兴给我们很有荣幸有这样的机会跟大家一起分享。
Last night we talked about stories. We talked about what about your story? What about my story?
昨天晚上我们讲到故事你的故事，我的故事。
And we, you know, this morning I shared a little bit about just the details of the different steps of tribal church planting.
今天早上我也分享了在部落建立当地教会的不同的阶段跟步骤。
And tonight we're going to talk about the most dangerous decision you can make in your life.
今天晚上我们要讨论到我们生命当中会做能做最危险的决定。
Why are we talking about decisions? It's because when we talk about our stories, when we stories are made up, made of decisions that we make in life.
为什么我们要讲到做决定呢？因为当我们讲到故事的时候，其实每一个故事都是由许多的决定而组成的。
So, the title for the session tonight is the most dangerous decision.
所以今天晚上的主题是最危险的决定。
Missions is oftentimes portrayed as a dangerous decision.
宣教常常对大家来说是一个危险的决定。
We usually won't go ahead and say,missions is a dangerous decision, but we hide what we really think inside by using the word sacrifice or difficulties or missions is a decision of giving up things.
虽然我们不会直接说宣教是一个危险的决定，但是当我们形容宣教是牺牲、是苦难、是损失的时候，我们意指就是宣教是危险，是一个危险的决定。
When we these are all words that we see, missions is a sacrifice, missions is loss, missions, you know, you will face difficulty, it is dangerous.
这些字都是用，通常我们用来形容宣教的是牺牲，是困难的，是损失，是危险。
If you were to look at our life, our family story, you might conclude that, hey, it's touching, they have a good story.The Lord really used them on the mission field, but in the back of your mind, you might still conclude that this family suffered, this family gave up a lot of stuff.
当你听到我们故事的时候，你可能会觉得说，的确神使用他们来做神国的事情，但是在你的心里可能还是会觉得，他们还是牺牲了很多，损失了很多。
I was sharing in a place one time, and we walk up to the pulpit, and I realized that I actually never talked about what my message title would be for that conference. But as I walked up to the pulpit, I turn around and I look at the PowerPoint that the first PowerPoint that they prepared for me, and my message title, they said it for me. The message title says, 在生命边缘的服事。
有一次我在一个会议里面分享，那因为我们之前没有确定要分享的主题是什么，当我走到台上看到他们放了第一张 PPT 的时候，才发现他把我的分享的主题写为在生命的边缘服事，
or serving at the very edge of life. I mean, it was very overly dramatic.
在生命边缘的服事，非常的戏剧化，非常的强烈的字眼。
That's when I realized that people have thismisconception or this notion that missionaries are suffering people.
那时候我真正感觉到说，大家真的认为宣教士是一群在受苦、很辛苦、在边缘服事的人。
When we hear stories about other missionaries, we think that they're suffering people. They've chosen a dangerous lifestyle. And because of this, when it comes to mission conferences, I know the pastors usually, stand on stage and say, here I am, send me. In our hearts, we end up saying, here I am, Lord, send him. Send the person next to me.
因为我们也听到别的宣教士的故事，那也是看到他们怎么样为主摆上，以至于我们有的时候，虽然在宣教大会的时候，通常最后牧师会站在台上呼召或是祷告说，主啊， 啊，请差遣我。但是每一个人的心里是默默的想着啊，主啊，差遣他，差遣别人。
Guys, we're not going to have an altar call or any kind of response to ask if you are wanting to go to Africa tomorrow. We're not going to do that today.
我们今天晚上不会啊，最后一个呼召要邀请你，或者是要你到明天就到啊非洲。
But we would have wasted this weekend if we walked away tomorrow or we walked away from this weekend thinking that missions is good, but we're still not wanting to take that first step because we believe it is a dangerous decision.
如果我们经过这整个周末会觉得宣教很好，但是这个太困难了，而不愿意再往前踏一步，其实我们就浪费这整个这一次的宣教大会了。
I want to share something with you guys that I don't think I've shared in churches or public.
我今天晚上想要跟大家分享一些照片，是我好像没有在其他的会议里或宣教联会里面分享过的。
In the second year that we moved into BM.
在我们搬入 BM 的第二年。
My daughter, my second daughter, my younger daughter, she was Man, she was 4 at that time, I think.
我们的小女儿她那时候是四岁。
And she had a little cut on her leg.
她的脚上面有一点小小的伤口。
And because we live in the tropics, any cut could easily get infected.
因为我们所住的是热带的地区，所以任何的伤口都很容易被感染。
And so a cut wasn't, you know, I mean, it was very common. You get mosquito bites, you know, you play outside in the jungle, you get cuts over your body all the time.
在部落的生活很容易有伤口，不管是被虫子咬到或是跌倒，或是其实很随时都会有伤口。
But she started running a fever that would not go down.
但是她那时候受伤之后就开始发烧，然后烧了好几天。
And then her leg, the open cut became something like this.
然后她的脚就开始变成这个样子。
And again, the fever would not go down, and she started. We could start seeing. I don't know if you can see in this picture, but what we call blood poisoning. There were streaks going up her leg, her thigh.
我们过了几天，他烧了好几天，我们就开始注意到他的伤口上面就已经开始有血液受到感染的这个红色的往上爬。
So we radio out to our missions doctor, and he said that this is a typical case of cellulitis, a tropical infection.
我们把这个照片给我们在总部的医生，那他看了之后就说，哇，这个是一个很典型的这个蜂窝性组织炎。
And then if we don't get out of the tribe and get her treated, there's a danger of death.
如果我们不赶快离开部落，然后来治疗的话，其他会有生命的危险。
Yeah, all these little marks that we were tracking, just the streaks going up her body and just how fast it was progressing.
这是我们那时候画线来记录她的这个感染是怎么样发展，是怎么往上越来越多。
And it wasn't. Let me. And it wasn't getting better. Her whole leg was swollen. The fever would not go down.
但是过我们虽然有治疗在部落给她，但是还是一样，她的高烧不退。
And that's when we decided, man, we need to get our daughter out of the island.
不过后来我们决定说，我们的确需要把孩子带出部落。
But she was running a fever. She was not in good shape. A boat ride of 6-7 hours was out of the question.
但是他因为一直在发高烧，所以如果我们要坐6-7个小时的小船出岛的话，其实是非常困难的。
It turned out that the entire country of Papua New Guinea had one float plane, planes that could land on water.
在那时候，全巴布亚新几内亚只有一台水上飞机，就是可以在水上降落起降的飞机。
And he happened to be a good friend of our team, so. And the plane was 80 miles away.
这个飞行员是我们的好的朋友，我们才会的好朋友。那刚好他也这个在80英里之外。
So usually float planes only land in rivers or lakes. They don't usually land, at least the one in New Guinea. They don't land on the ocean, but man, it was a life and death situation. So they came and got got my daughter out.
通常水上飞机只会在淡水的地方起降，他们不会在海中起降，但是因为他知道这是一个生死攸关的时刻，所以他来，然后来把我们带出岛。
This is not the picture of the float plane. This is the second plane after the float plane got the daughter out. Then the second plane picked my daughter up and deciding whether to go to Australia for medevac or go to our headquarter in New Guinea.
右边的照片不是水上飞机，而是第二台飞机，然后他带我们的孩子到总部，那来决定是不是需要把他送到澳洲来治疗。
About an hour after we got out, my coworker radioed us from BM, from the island, saying that about half an hour after we left, there was a big storm that covered the island. If we didn't got out that morning, there was no way we could have got out any other time.
当我们到总部一个小时之后，我们的同工跟我用无线电跟我们联系，他说我们离开半个小时之后就有一个暴风雨到了岛在笼罩了岛上，如果我们那时候没有出来的话，我们真的就没有机会能够离开岛上了。
So my daughter was treated.
所以我的女儿就在总部的诊所来接受治疗。
I think she had a triple dose of antibiotics to fight off the infection.
医生给她三倍的剂量，用打针的方式，然后让她能来控制她的感染。
So yeah, and after 2 weeks she was fully recovered, and we were able to go back to BM.
两个礼拜之后，她完全的恢复，然后我们之后就回到岛上。
So that's usually that's a story that I, you know, I don't think I've shared regularly or openly in churches.
这个故事我们比较少在教会分享。
But the reality is, my daughter could have died that day.
但是事实是，我们的孩子在那一次的生病里面，其实是有可能丧失生命的。
Had we made a decision later, even an hour later, to call in the float plane, we would not have been able to get out.
如果我们在更晚才跟这个水上飞机求救的话，就算晚了半个小时，我们也没有办法出来。
I wanna ask you guys this.
我想要问大家这个问题。
What if my daughter died that day?
如果我的女儿那天过世的话。
What if we didn't get her out on time?
如果我们没有及时把她救出来。
Would you still invite me to be your speaker?
你还会邀请我成为你们的讲员吗？
I suspect that a lot of churches, if that's part of our story, me losing a daughter on the mission field, a lot of churches probably...Quite a few of them would no longer want to invite me to speak.
如果我们的故事是我们在宣教工厂丧失了一个女儿，很多的教会可能就不再会想要邀请我们来分享。
Because they'll conclude that, hey, mission is good, but man, what this guy did, or what this family, their decisions, that's irresponsible, that's too much.
因为他们可能会觉得，没错，宣教是好的，但是这个人或者这个家庭所做的太过分，太过头了，变成是不负责任。
Especially in our Asian American or Asian heritage, we want to leave the best to the next generation.
特别是在我们亚洲人的华人的背景里面，我们想要把最好的留给我们的孩子。
So, you know, if that happened that day, my daughter died, man, for a lot of people, that would be too much.
但是如果我们的女儿在那时候过世，对很多人来讲是实在是太过头了。
Was my decision to leave suburban America dangerous?
我们决定要离开湾区是太危险的吗？
If it were, then mission isn't for most people.
如果真的是太过分的危险，那宣教就是不是基督徒许多的每一个基督徒应该要参与的。
But nobody wants to sacrifice. Everybody runs to safety. Even Christians were gain-seeking people, were safety-seeking people.
没有人想要刻意的跑向苦难或跑向危险。是每一个人都是想要舒适，想要安全。基督徒也是，我们是要寻求能够得着的，是能够。得着的人。
And guys, I'm no different than you guys. I too want safety. I too, you know, I too want to keep my kids safe. I don't want them to die.
对我自己也是一样，我也想要能够有安全，我也希望让我的孩子能够安全，不要让他丧失了生命。
What I'm trying to say is we, including ourselves, we all want to avoid danger.
我想要说的是，我们每一个人，包括我们自己，都想要避开危险。
I would even say God wants us to choose safety over danger.
我甚至会说，神是要我们选择安全而胜过，而不是选择危险。
A lot, you know, we have to ask why do we want to avoid danger? I think it's easy, you know, it's because we want safety.
我会说，我们为什么要避开危险？难道追求安全是错的吗？
No, we is pursuing safety wrong? I don't think so.
我想不是的。
I would even say God wants us to pursue safety.
我甚至要说神要我们来追求安全。
But God wants us to define, God wants to define what's safe for us.
但是神要为我们定义什么是安全。
As we talk about safety and danger, or what are dangerous decisions, what are safe decisions, we have to ask, well, why do we want to avoid danger?
当我们要讲到什么是安全的，什么是危险的，我们要想到为什么我们要避开危险。
And I think the answer is simple, it's because we want to preserve life.
因为我们要维持我们的生命。
Life is precious to us, so you know, nobody wants to run toward danger because we want to pursue life.
因为生命是很宝贵的，所以没有人想要刻意的跑到危险里面而对生命有所损失。
But which life are we trying to preserve, or what kind of life are we trying to preserve?
但是我们要追求的是什么样的生命，或什么样的生命？
I usually use this illustration to make a point.
我常常用这样的一个例子来解释。
Somebody mathematically calculated a schedule that compares the average lifespan of a human being with a single day, beginning at 7 in the morning and ending at 12 midnight.
有一个人用数学的方式来计算了人的生命，然后比较把它浓缩成一天是从早上七点开始。凌晨12点结束。
So if a baby was born, then life would start at 7 o'clock in the morning.
如果是一个新生儿，他就是早上7点钟。
So this equation goes, if you're 15, then your time is at 10:25 in the morning.
如果用这样子的方式来比较的话，你是15岁的时候，就是早上10点25分。
If you're 25, then it's past noon, you've had lunch already.
如果是25岁，已经是12点42分，已经吃过中餐了。
If you're 35, then it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
如果是35岁，那就是下午3点。
If you're 45, it's time for dinner.
如果45岁就快要准备吃晚餐了。
If 55, then it's 7:34.
如果是55岁就是晚上的7点34分。
If you're 65, then it's almost 10 o'clock at night.
如果是65岁就已经快要晚上10点了。
If you're 70, your time is 11 o'clock.
如果你现在是70岁，那现在是晚上的11点。
Hopefully you guys don't sign off and you're going, wait a minute, it's 9 o'clock now, man, my life is almost over. This is actually a very depressing table of numbers.
希望看到了这个表的时候，你不要觉得不要就说啊，我现在进来已经是这么晚的生命中这么晚的时间。的确看到这个时间让我们觉得哇，时间过得好快。
Now, this is our earthly life.
这是我们世上的日子。
Now, going back to my first question, well, why do we try to avoid danger? It is because we want to preserve life.
当我之前讲到说为什么我们要避开危险，是我们想要维持生命。
But, and the desire to preserve life is good. It's not against God's teaching.
但是要保有生命其实是好的，这个不是与神的教导相背驰的。
But what kind of life are you preserving? Which life are you preserving?
但是当我们想到要保全生命的时候，我们要问的是，我们是要保全哪个生命，保全什么样的生命？
In Psalm 90:12, this is what Moses said, that Moses actually wrote this psalm. And he says, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
在诗篇90篇，这个是摩西所写的诗篇，他12节的时候说，求你教导。我们怎么样数算自己的日子，好叫我们得着智慧的心。
In James 4:14,
在雅各书四章十四节
James says, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist. We are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes.
雅各说，其实明天如何，你们还不知道。你们的生命是什么呢？你们原来是一片云雾，我们原来是一片云雾，出现少时就不见了。
If the life that we are trying to preserve is this earthly life, and if that's a reason why we avoid danger, then James, said, man, you are trying to preserve a mist that is meant to disappear, quickly anyways.
如果我们想要保全的是这个世上的生命，那就像雅各所说的，我们想要保全的是一片云雾，出现少时就。
And when Moses says, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom, it says, Moses says, man, count your days, know how long you are going to live. When he says, if we know the number of days, we will gain a heart of wisdom, he is in a way saying, if you do not know how to number your days, then you are foolish.
当摩西说求指教我们该怎么样数算自己的日子，好让我们得着智慧的心。他同时也在说，如果我们不知道怎么数算我们的日子，我们不知道怎么样来看我们的日子的时候，我们没有办法得着智慧的心。
How we number our days, how even back when we first got married, how we define or how we saw our life in suburban California, how we value our life, what kind of life, which life were we preserving?That played a major decision into our major role into our decision to go into mission.
那么他什么时候开始？
已经开始了，算
了。哎呀，我怎么找不到他的？
声音能不能在外面了？
呀，我在里面，我不喜欢看电视。I get stuck.
在早上或者我们怎么决定？
哎，
人生。
The question came up last night. The question came up last night about just the difficulty for Asian Americans or immigrant families to get involved with missions.
昨天有一个问题是提到我们在美国的我们华裔的人怎么样在回应大使命。
By the way, I'll try to save a little time for questions and answers tomorrow. Tonight.
对，我会等一下会留点时间，我们或许可以有一点问答的时间。
For Asian Americans, for most people in this chat room or in this Zoom meeting, most of us are immigrants.
对于我们现在在视讯里面的大部分的弟兄姐妹，我们大部分是移民的家庭。
We either were immigrant ourselves or we are descendants of immigrants.
要么我们自己就是移民的人，或者是我们是移民家庭的后裔。
And this mentality as an immigrant is built in, whether or not we were born in America, but our heritage is that of immigration, and it's built into the way we think, it's built into the way we value life, it's built into the way we make decisions.
这个移民的心态，移民的思维其实很在我们的潜意识里面，就算我们是在美国出生的，会影响到我们怎么样看世界，怎么样我们所做的决定。
And this immigrant mentality is actually counter to missions.
其实这个移民的心态跟宣教的思维是相违背的。
The commandment for Jesus, from Jesus, is to go, but the immigrant mentality is to stay.
因为耶稣的命令是要我们去，但是我们移民的想法是我们要来，要留下来。
When we first decided to go to Papua New Guinea,
一开始决定要去巴布亚新几内亚。
One of the first questions, and somebody said this to my face, and the person said, "You don't have the right to make that decision for your kids, to bring them to New Guinea."
就有人这样挑战我，直接挑战我说，你没有权利带你的女孩子到巴布亚新几内亚，你没有权利为他们做这样的决定。
And I said earlier that it is true that man, if our daughter died that day, some churches probably would not invite us to be. To be their speaker.
而且就像我之前说的，如果我们的女儿因为这样的丧失生命的话，可能没有人会想要再邀请我们。
Because as immigrant families, with immigration in our heritage, we value our children, we value our grandchildren, we value our safety.
因为对移民的家庭来说，我们看重我们的儿女，我们看重我们在这里可以得到的，可以保全的。
But guys, let's not forget most missionary biographies sitting in our church's library. They have stories of burying their kids in China, in Asia. Without those missionaries, man, we would not be sitting here.
我们不要忘记，但是我们不要忘记，在教会的图书馆里面，许多的宣教士的传记，有许多人当中是把他们的孩子葬在他们的宣教工厂，不管是在中国或亚洲其他的地方。如果没有他们这样的摆上，我们是没有机会听到福音的。
So, what I'm trying to say is, for people with our background, with the immigrant heritage, a lot of times we are trying to preserve life. We are trying to seek safety, but the life that we are trying to preserve is what James says here. We're trying to preserve a mist.
但是我所以我想要说的是，我们每一个人都希望能够保全生命，但是我们所保全的生命是雅各在这边所说的一片云雾，因为我们所保全的是在世上的生命。
And the life that we are trying to preserve, the immigrant mentality, ended up causing us to set the bar at, hey, settle down in America, just keep a safe family, make sure our kids get an education, make sure they go to church.
以至于我们这个特别加上我们移民的心态，让我们把我们的标准放在好，就在这边好好的待下来，让孩子有好的工作，有好的未来，好的机会，在这边建立一个家庭。
But is that the life God wants you to preserve?
但是这个是神要我们保全的生命吗？
As we think back to the teaching of Jesus,
当我们来看耶稣基督的教导的时候，
there are things in our lives, there are seasons in our lives where we have a lot of uncertainties.
在我们的生命当中有一些季节是充满了不确定性的。
The theme for this weekend is missions means me.
这一次宣教年会的主题是使命及我。
And a lot of times when we talk about missions, even, you know, when God tugs our heart to make a response to mission, we're faced with a lot of uncertainties.
当神呼召我们来回应他的时候，有的时候还会面临到许多的不确定。
And a lot of times in life, life in general, as we seek to follow God, God doesn't give us all the answers.
其实在生命上我们要去所以跟随神就会有很多的不确定，神不会给我们所有的答案。
How should I live my life for God?
我要怎么样为神而活？
How do I take that first step toward missions?
我要怎么样在宣教上踏第一步？
When we face a lot of uncertainties, when we face a lot of I don't knows,
当我们面对很多的不知道的时候，未知的时候，
we should think back to what we already know.
我们应该要想一想我们已经知道什么。
Because what we already, things that we already know,
因为这些我们已经知道的事，
usually are the only things we need to know.
常常是我们最需要知道，或是那些就是我们需要知道的事。
My messages probably won't answer everybody's questions.
我的信息应该不会，可能不会回答所有你们的问题。
But that's really not my job.
但是这并不是我的责任。
My job is to point all of us, including myself, back to God's word and find out what He has already told us.
我的工作是把我们每一个人，包括我自己，带回指向到神的话上面，也看神的话怎么样对我们说话。
So the next question is, when it comes to missions, or when it comes to that's even expanded a little more, when it comes to following Jesus, what do we already know?
所以下一个问题是，当我们讲到宣教，或是讲到跟随基督的时候，我们已经知道什么？
Before the cross, before Jesus died, he had about 3 years of teaching.
在耶稣受死之前，他有大概三年多的时间来教导众人。
In the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there was only one teaching of Jesus that appeared in all four Gospels.
在四福音里面，只有一个教导是在四福音都出现的。
And before the cross, I mean.
在 在这个
十字架
之前。
Before the cross, out of all the teaching, Jesus taught on many things, but there was only one teaching that appeared in all the four Gospels.
在耶稣受死之前，有一个教导是在四个福音书都有的。
I think, you know, try to start, you know, start thinking, which one is it? Which one is it? If I was in person, I would, you know, gift you, I will give you a gift if you could think, you know, if you could come up with the answer.
如果我现在是在现场的话，我会看谁能够回答问题，就给你一个礼物。
Which teaching was so important that Jesus repeated it four times in four different occasions?
是哪一个教导是在他受死之前都已经一直被提到的？
In Matthew 16:25, he says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it.
他说，因为凡要救自己生命的必丧掉生命，凡为我丧掉生命的必得着生命。
In Mark 8:35, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it.
在马可福音讲到，因为凡要救自己的必丧掉生命，凡为我和福音丧掉生命的必救了生命。
In Luke 17:33, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life will preserve it.
路加福音17章，凡想要保全生命的必丧掉生命，凡丧掉生命的必救活生命。
In John, anyone who loves their life will lose it, and if anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life.
约翰福音，爱惜自己生命的就失丧生命，在这世上恨恶自己生命的就要保守生命到永生。
Guys, this is the only teaching that appear in four Gospels, and Jesus, it wasn't like Jesus said it one time, and the four Gospel writers recorded it differently. Jesus, if you go back and study the text, Jesus said it in four different occasions.
这个是圣耶稣在受死之前同样的教导，在他不是只有讲一次。如果我们去看这些经文的上下文，就发现它的发生的时间是不一样，表示耶稣教导了许多次，讲到同样的主题。
This is what Jesus wants his follower to know.
这是耶稣要确定他跟随他的人所知道的事。
This is what we know. This is what we already know. As we face the future, as we face decisions, this is what we already know.
这是我们要知道，这是当我们面对所有的决定的时候，我们已经知道的事。
Don't try to save this life on earth.
不要试着保全在这世上的生命。
If you try to save it, you will lose it.
因为你想要试着保全的话，你反而会失去。
But if you let God take your life, I mean, even to the point of death, even if you lose your earthly life, you will end up saving your own life.
但是如果你让神来掌管你的生命，甚至到一个程度，你或许失去了这个世上的生命，但是你会保全生命直到永生。
Jesus cares about safety.
耶稣也看重安全。
Jesus doesn't want you to make a dangerous choice.
耶稣不要你做危险的决定。
But his definition for danger or safety is different.
但是耶稣对危险跟安全的定义是不一样的。
In four Gospels, Jesus is shouting to us, don't choose the dangerous path. Don't try to save your life in this world.
在四福音，他都不断地告诉我们，不要试着保全在世上的生命，不要做那个危险的选择。
Lose it for me. Lose your life for me, and you will save it.
为了我和福音的缘故，丧失生命，你就必救了生命。
Some of you guys know that my wife Gail, she has cancer.
你们当中有些人知道师母有癌症。
And it's not getting better.
也没有好转的迹象。
She is 49 years old, right? 48. She's 48. 48岁。She will likely have 49th birthday.
我可能会有49岁的生命。的生日。
She hopefully will have a 55th birthday.
希望能够有55岁的生日。
But unless God does a miracle and completely heal her, Gail and I will probably not going to take a cruise to Alaska to celebrate our 80th birthday.
除非神用神迹的方式来医治我的话，我们可能不会能够在游轮上面，阿拉斯加游轮上一起庆祝七八十岁的生日。
We're hoping that will happen, but the medical reality.Says otherwise.
当然我们希望能够发生，但是我们知道在身体上面的现况是如此。
So I don't know if Gail will have her 80th birthday.
所以我不知道我会不会有80岁的生日。
But I know she's going to have her 180th birthday.
但是我知道我会有180岁的生日。
I know she's going to have her 2581st birthday.
我知道我会有2581岁的生日。
I know she's going to have her 20 millionth birthday.
我知道我会有2000万年的生日。
Guys, this is the life that we have. Our life on earth may be a mist, but because of Jesus Christ, we get to live forever.
但是这是我们的生命。因为基督耶稣的关系，我们这个云雾的生命，那个永恒的生命，变成永恒的生命。
So Jesus is saying to us, don't try to save the next 20, 30, 40 years.
所以耶稣告诉我们，不要试着去保全接下来的20、30、40年。
But invest in eternity.
反而要投资在永恒上。
I'm not saying let's not care about safety.
我的意思不是说我们就不要管安全了。
But safety in the next 20, 30, 40 years is not our ultimate priority.
但是过接下来20、30、40年的安全不是我们最重要要追求的。
This is Jesus' only teaching before the cross.
这是耶稣在受死之前不断重复的信息。
This is what Jesus wants us to know, and this is what we already know.
这是耶稣要确定我们知道，也是我们现在已经知道的。
Now, after the cross, after Jesus died on the cross for our sins, after the resurrection, Jesus taught something else again.
那在耶稣受死复活之后，他又教导了一个信息。
And his teaching also appeared in all four Gospels.
那这个教导也同样在四本福音书都出现。
Very familiar, Matthew 28, 18 to 20.
非常我们非常熟悉的大使命。
This is where Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. We know this passage.
我们已经知道当耶稣说你们要去使万民做我的门徒。
But Jesus, this is not the only place that has the Great Commission. In Mark 16, the very last chapter of Mark, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And whoever believes is and baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned.
但是这是也是另外一处有大使命的，就是在马可福音，当耶稣说马可福音的最后一章，他说你们要往普天下去传福音给万民听，信而受洗的必然得救，不信的必被定罪。
And in the very last chapter of Luke, Jesus repeats it again. This is what's written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will bePreach in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things.
同样在路加福音最后一章的时候，也是耶稣也跟他们说，照经上所写，基督必受害，第三日从死里复活，并且人要奉他的名传悔改赦罪的道，从耶路撒冷起，直到万邦，你们就是这些事的见证。
And the Great Commission in the book of John, this is the second last chapter of John, Jesus said, peace be with you as a father has sent me, I am sending you.
那在约翰福音里面的大使命是在约翰福音的倒数第二章，二十章他这样说，耶稣对他们说，愿你们平安，父怎样差遣了我，我也照样差遣你们。
Guys, if you look at this passage, this passage is not very peaceful.
当我们读看到这段经文发现，哇，这一段经文其实不是很有平安的感觉。
How did the heaven, you know, how did the Father send Jesus?
天父是怎么样差遣耶稣基督的？
He sent, God sent his only son from heaven to a manger.
神把他的独生爱子从天上送到马槽。
And then after 33 years, he sent him to the cross.
然后在33年之后，他差遣他上十字架。
And nailed him to the cross for your sins, for my sins.
为了我，为了你的罪，钉在十字架上。
Guys, I care about my kids.
大家知道我们很关心爱我们的女儿。
I love my kids. I would lay down my life for their lives.
我愿意为他们牺牲自己的生命。
But if you were to examine the very core of our Christian faith,
但是如果我们仔细看我们信仰的核心，
if you start peeling it like, you know, a layer, you know, onion, and you start peeling the outside.
如果我们把我们的信仰一层一层的剥开，
if you peel off church history and denominational theology, what, you know, I mean, if you start peeling outside, what do you find in the very center?
如果我们把不管是教会历史或者是各个宗派的差别把它剥开之后，中间我们核心我们看到是什么？
We will find a father who did not withhold his only son.
我们会看到一个天父没有把孩子留给自己。
His only son.
他的独生爱子留给自己。
And he sent his only son to the cross for your sake and for my sake.
而为了你我的罪，把他的独生爱子差遣他到十字架上。
And because that's our faith.
因为这是我们。
That's the very core of our faith.
是我们信仰核心。
I cannot say to God, God, I'm willing to do this for you. I'm willing to do that for you. But as soon as it affects my expectation of safety for my kids, as soon as it messes up with their education, God, then I can't do that. I can't say that to our God.
因为这是我们信仰的核心，我们没有办法跟神说，神啊，我愿意为你做这个，我愿意为你做那个，但是如果你的命令跟我的孩子，不管他们的教育，他们的安危，影响到这些的话，我没有办法，我不愿意做。那因为神已经这样子的，我们没有办法这样子跟神回应。
Before the gospel presentation, this is still during our language learning years on BM.
在我们学习语言，在 BM 学习语言文化的时候。
One time, a BM person got drunk and came to our house.
有一次，有一个 BM 的族人，他喝醉了，就到我们家前面。
And it was not uncommon. People get drunk all the time. But what was different about that day is this guy had a 1 meter bush knife.
其实，在岛上喝醉是常见的事，但是那天不一样的是，这个喝醉的人他手上有一个一公尺长的开山刀。
And he was completely hammered. I mean, he was not in control of his own mind.
而且他醉得很严重，他没有办法控制自己。
And as I went out to take care of the situation, I realized that this drunken man with a bush knife, he was standing between my kids and I.
当我要出去要处理这个状况的时候，我才发现这个喝醉的手上拿着开山刀的人正站在我跟我的孩子在外面玩的孩子的中间。
He was completely out of control. I mean, nobody knew what he was going to do. So my kids, you know, I mean, it was a dangerous situation.
他因为已经烂醉了，没有人知道他会做什么事，所以我的孩子是面临的危险。
So, but my coworker happened to come out. He quickly called my kids to run.Into his house for safety. The villagers, my neighbors came and subdued this man and got him away, you know, just pulled him away.
那时候我的同工就从他的家里出来，也看到这样的情况，赶快把我们的孩子叫回他们的房子里面。那其他的族人也来把这个喝醉的人把他带走。
This story had a good ending. Nobody got hurt.
当然，这个故事很平安的结束，没有人受伤。
But I remember how helpless I felt as a father. I felt unable to protect my daughters.
但是我很深刻的记得，我那时候感觉到非常的无助，因为身为一个父亲，我没有办法确定能够保护我的孩子。
And my daughters still remember that episode.
当然，我们的孩子也记得这个事件。
I share a little bit about my kids growing up on the island, how they got to know Jesus, they received the gospel along with the BM people.
昨天我有分享，早上我有分享到我的孩子怎么样跟 BM 的人一起接受福音。
This is a picture of my second daughter, the one that got infected years ago. This is her baptism.
这是我女儿的照片，就是那个蜂窝性组织炎的女儿的受洗的照片。
This is, you know, baptism, and I had the privilege of baptizing my own daughter along. This was a BM church baptism, so a bunch of BM believers got baptized that day.
这是 BM 教会的受洗的日子，所以那天也有很多其他的 BM 基督徒接受洗礼。
You know the guy that's holding her?
你知道在他旁边握着他的手的。
That was the guy that showed up drunk years ago with a bush knife.
这就是几年前喝醉手里拿着开山刀来我们家前面的那个人。
He was also that first group of believers that came to faith.
他也是岛上第一群认识福音来信主耶稣的人。
My daughters now call him uncle.
现在我的女儿叫他叫叔叔。
Guys, this is the power of the gospel.
这是福音的大能。
And this is my best gift to my kids.
这是我给我孩子能够给他们最好的礼物。
This is something I cannot buy with money.
这不是我能够用金钱能够买到的。
My kids, having grown up on the island, they know they've seen firsthand the power of gospel to transform lives.
我的孩子他们在岛上长大，他们亲眼看见福音改变生命的大能。
So what did I lose? What did I suffer? What did I sacrifice? What did I give up?
所以到底我损失了什么，失去了什么，牺牲了什么？
I gave up nothing. I sacrificed nothing. God has given the best gift to our family. That is the gospel.
我什么都没有牺牲，因为神把最好的礼物给我们家，也就是福音。
Guys, I'm not saying, you know, let's push our kids toward danger.
我的意思不是说我们要把我们的孩子推向危险的环境。
But know this, as followers of Jesus Christ,
但是要记得我们是神的跟随者。
Your best gift to your kids is not a good education, is not money, it's not comfort, it's not the American dream. Your best gift to your kids would be your life as a testimony of following Jesus. Your kids need that from you. That would be the best gift you could give to your kids.
我们要给孩子最好的礼物，不是最好的教育，或是能够达到美国梦。我们能够给他的是在主耶稣基督里面的生命。
You guys saw the picture of all, we have three families on the island. You guys saw the picture of some of the missionary kids of my coworkers.
今天早上你们有看到我们团队的其他的家庭的照片。
I think by the end, we had three families and I have two kids. My American coworker had, they have five kids. My German coworker, they have four kids.
到最后等我们结束整个事工的时候，我们有两个孩子，美国同工有五个孩子，德国同工有四个孩子。
We finished, like I shared last night, we finished the work, we left the island in 2017.
就像我早上所分享的，我们在2017年结束了在岛上的工作。
You know, these kids, all the missionary kids on our team, they got together and they decided to write a book.
你知道，在我们岛上这些宣教士的孩子们，他们决定要一起写一本书。
They're still working on it, but the book is about 80% done.
他们还在努力当中，但是80%有写完了。
We didn't tell them to do it, but our, you know, my daughters and all the other kids on our team, they got together and they said, we want to write a book about missions from the missionary kids' perspective.
这些孩子他们要说，我们想要写一本书，关于宣教的书，但是是从宣教士儿女的角度来写。
They feel like they are often misunderstood as missionary kids, so they want to write a book, talk about missions.
他们觉得他们身为 MK 常常会被误解，所以他们想要写一本书来告诉大家。
And I flipped through some of their writings.
我看一下他们所写的内容。
You know what they wrote?
你知道他们写什么吗？
One of the chapters. I think the title or the subtitle actually said, "Parents, it's okay for us to die on the mission field. Don't let danger stop you from becoming missionaries."
其中有一章的确是，甚至是有写到。跟父母亲说，父母亲，我们你可以不要为了我们的安危就让你们不回应大使命。
These are kids. Our kids wrote that.
这些是孩子，是我们的孩子所写的。
Guys, a life that truly understands the gospel, is different.
弟兄姐妹，一个真正了解福音的生命是不一样的生命。
A gospel saturated life.Will pursue safety.
一个让福音充满的生命会追求安全。
But not safety in the next 40, 50 years.
但是不是在接下来四五十年的安全。
But they'll pursue safety in eternity.
而是在永恒里的安全。
Guys, I know this message is difficult and it's confusing for some.
我知道这个信息是很硬的，可能很难能够吃下去。
And it probably needs time processing.
可能也需要时间我们来思考。
I'm not in any way saying let's push our kids toward danger.
我绝对不是说我们要把我们的孩子放在一个危险的环境。
But your kids' safety in eternity matters more than how they're going to live in the next 30, 40 years.
但是你的孩子在永恒里的安全比他们接下来三四十年的安全更重要。
I could have easily shared some feel-good testimonies or stories from the BM church and just talk for 60 minutes tonight.
我当然可以分享很多在 BM 教会里面一些很温馨的故事。
It was not safe for me to share with you guys that my daughter almost died.
对我来讲，要分享这个我女儿在工厂上面所遇到的危险是不容易的。
I know that for some people, almost losing your kid on the mission field, that's a line you don't cross.
对有些人来说，在宣教工厂上几乎还差点让孩子失去生命，可能是我们绝对不会做的事。
But you know what? God crossed that line for us.
但是你知道吗？神为了我们就跨越了这件事。
He nailed His Son on the cross for us.
他让他的独生爱子在十字架上为我们舍命。
This is why we no longer manage a life of 80, 90 years. We get to manage a life that goes on forever.
以至于我们所要处理、要管理、要不是在世上八十年的生命，而是到永永远远的生命。
My prayer is that I did not say anything the Bible did not say today.
我的祷告是我今天没有分享圣经没有说的事。
God does not want you to live in danger.
神不要你活在危险。
God wants you to pursue safety.
神要你追求安全。
But God says, if you follow this world, then you are wrong about what is dangerous and what is safe.
但是神说，如果你追求这世上的安全的话，那你就不知道什么是真的危险，什么是真的安全。
If you pursue what this world tells you is safe, then you are living a danger. You're making a dangerous choice.
如果你追求这个世界告诉你是安全的事，你是在做一个危险的决定。
The most dangerous choice, the most dangerous decision you can make is to pursue safety in this world.
我们能够做最危险的决定，就是追寻在这个世上的安全。
But Jesus says, give up your life for me, let me take control. Even if you die, even if you die, you will be gaining life eternal.
但是主耶稣基督说，把你的生命放在我的身上，让我掌，让我手上，让我掌管。甚至如果你丧失了生命，你会得着永远的生命。
And giving up life is the safest decision you and I can make.
在为了基督的缘故，丧失生命是我们能够做最安全的决定。
Now、let's pray.
我们来祷告。
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love.
主耶，亲爱天父，谢谢你，谢谢你的爱。
Thank you for securing our life for eternity.
谢谢你让我们的生命在你的永恒里是安全的。
Father, we thank you for using Jesus to define what's dangerous and what's safe for us.
谢谢你使用耶稣基督为我们定义什么是安全，什么是危险。
Father, I just pray that you'll give us all a heart of wisdom so that we know how to count our days.
主啊，求你给我们智慧的心，以至于我们知道怎么样数算我们的日子。
Father, we rejoice in the fact that we will get to live forever with you in heaven.
主啊，我们欢喜高兴，因为我们能够永永远远与你相聚。
So let us invest our lives in eternity.
主啊，帮助我们能够投资在与永恒相关的事上。
Now, there are things that's seemingly dangerous in this world.
有一些事情在世上看起来似乎是危险的。
There are decisions that the world tells us that it's a sacrifice, it's a giving up, it's loss.
有一些决定在世上看起来好像是牺牲，好像是损失。
But Father, I just pray that you open our eyes to see that a life given to you is not a life of loss.
但是主啊，求你开我们的眼睛，能够知道主啊，为你损失的生命其实不是损失。
Father, just don't let us make that dangerous choice of preserving our own lives.
主啊，帮助我们不要做这个危险的决定，为了保全自己在世上的生命。
We just pray that we'll all choose the safe, decision of letting you control our lives.
求你帮助我们做那安全的决定，就是让你来掌管我们的生命。
Now we thank you, pray all these things in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.We still have maybe 20 minutes. I want to save a little time for question and answer. I don't know if you guys could go ahead and type in your questions, or actually, if we end up having too many typed questions, and you could just unmute yourself and just go ahead and openly ask your question.Today, Gail is here, so it's probably, you guys probably are sick of my voice by now, so Gail could be answering some of the questions as well.
我想接下来时间我们就还有差不多20分钟，我们可以开放来做问答。不管是你要留言，在旁边留言，或者是也可以 unmute 你的 mic, 那但是就可以用这样的时间来问问题。
Yeah, we still have 21 minutes, dear brother and sister. You can unmute your mic, but I will suggest you, after your question, then you mute yourself. So we have currently, you have a 327 people. If everyone unmute, the sound effect will be very bad. 所以如果你要提问题的时候，你可以 unmute，但是提完问题以后，请你 mute，这样呢就不至于影响我们320多人的这个会场啊，请大家注意。 Go ahead.
师母，请问您的癌症是什么？问是什么癌症？因为我自己从事癌症研究，我想知道一下。啊，好，我是2011年是第一次是乳癌，那乳癌之后治疗了一年之后，再回到工厂上面。那2017年是转移到骨头里面，所以现在是骨癌的情况。
谢谢，我们希望，我们公司就是要从事这种转移癌症的研究，希望能够有突破。谢谢。
There's a question on the chat box. I'll go ahead and answer it. We on the island we had to homeschool our kids. That's.
在这边有一个问题是问到我们怎么样教育我们的孩子，那我们在岛上是自学，就是要用自学来教导我们的孩子。Okay,
let me answer this question. It's actually a very good question. Was there anyone close in your life that supported, encouraged your decision to pursue overseas?
接下来这个问题是说，在我们生命当中有没有人是鼓励或者是支持你要成为宣教士的决定？
How do I say this?
怎么说呢?
The missionaries that we ended up serving with, people that we met on the mission field, those are the people that we never had to explain our decision to go.
当我们跟我们在工厂上这些一同服侍的同工在一起的时候，我们不需要跟他们解释我们所做的这些决定。
We're not the only suffering people as far as physical suffering on the mission field.
我们不是在工厂上唯一经历困难的人。
I know many missionaries, co-workers who suffer also from physical illness or just difficulty on the field.
我们知道有许多的宣教士他们
I would say on the other side of the ocean, in Taiwan, in America, most people are encouraging, most people are supportive, but they probably would not be too sad or they might actually think it's a wise decision, especially after Gil got sick. To come back.
但是在这边，就是不是在宣教工厂，而是在差派的这边，可能大部分的人当然觉得是支持是鼓励，但是如果我们回来的话，也会觉得是可能会是更好的，特别是在我生病之后。Yeah.
So if we left the mission field after Gil got sick. If we left the mission field after my daughter almost died, most people would think that's a good decision.
如果我们在月池生病或者是我的孩子生病之后回来，大部分的人应该会觉得这是一个对的决定。
There's no right or wrong answer. I'm not saying staying is always the right answer, but we just never feel like God was leading us to come back home.
这个不是一个绝对的决定，不是说每一个人都一定要生了病还是要留下来，但是我们很清楚知道神没有告诉我们，或是没有关了这个门。 You can share with other friends they support you.
There's some really good questions. In yesterday's session, I made a comment about if you don't have doubts on the field every year, you're probably not working hard enough. So the question is, what are some of the doubts? What are some of the fears that we walk through?
这个昨天 对，昨天晚上维牧师有提到说，如果你没有常在宣教工厂上没有常常想要放弃，那可能工作不够，还没有够用力在服侍。那可不可以分享一下我们在工厂上所面对到的一些困难，或者是怀疑，或者是想要放弃的时候？
You know, guys, when it comes to doubts, it's never the big things. It's never the BM people's refusal to hear the gospel, or it's always the small things.
讲到要放想要放弃，永远都不是因为大事，不是说啊 BM 人拒绝福音啊什么，不是。
No, if I wanted to buy some supplies, sometimes I got to wait 4 to 6 months for a replacement battery.
在我们要需要在部落上里面要需要买补给品的时候，我们需要买，有的时候需要等很久，4到6个月才能够得拿到我们需要的东西，比如说电池。
There were times I honestly prayed to God, can you just put me in a Walmart for 30 minutes? That, you know, I'm willing to go back. I would be happy to go back, but let me just buy the things that I need for 30 minutes. You know, I will be done in 28 minutes, but like, can I have that?
有的时候我们会想说，主啊，你让我们能够回沃尔玛，只要半个小时就好，我半个小时之后就可以回到工厂上，但是可不可以让我赶快能够买到，很方便的买到我们想要的东西？
There are times of loneliness.
当然也是有很孤单的时候。
There are times of, you know, I'm the elder son in my family. There are responsibilities that I could not fulfill.
因为我是我们家的长子，但是有一因为不在爸爸妈妈的身边，有一些事情我没有办法帮忙他们。
So those are the difficulties that we had to go through.
所以在这种的时候就觉得格外的困难，我们会觉得啊，会有这样子的感觉。
So yeah, okay, two questions actually asked about Joyce Lin, the missionary pilot that lost her life earlier.
两个问题有提到关于 Joyce Lin, 就是前阵子在印尼丧失生命的这个 MAF 的飞行员。
We don't know Joyce personally.
我们自己不认识 Joyce.
We have some mutual friends. I also went to Gordon Conwell.
我们是在同一个神学院，然后我们也有一些共同的朋友。
Our mission, a lot of my coworkers also fly with MAF. We are a island location, so we never had to fly with them too much. But
我们有很多其他宣教士也会跟 MAF, 就是 Joyce 的机构来飞他们的飞机，但是我们是在一个海岛的地方，所以我们很少用小飞机出入。
I want to say that, Joyce lost her life, but she gained it.
我想要让大家知道 ，Joyce 虽然丧失了生命，但是她却得着了生命。
Guys, this is what we already know.
这是我们已经知道的事。
This is what Jesus said to us.
这是耶稣跟我们所说的话。
She lost her life, but then she gained her life.
她丧失了自己的生命，但是却得到了真实的生命。
Guys, I mean, talking about the immigrant mentality, Joyce. If you guys know about Joyce's background, her, she went to MIT. I would say the first half of her life would be any immigrant's family's dream.
如果你知道 Joyce 她的背景的话，她是麻省理工学院毕业的。当我们用这个移民的想法来移民的思维来看的时候，她的前半生就是每一个移民家庭的梦想。
The first 20 years was a dream. The second 20 years, you know, maybe not so much.
在后来的二十年，或许有一点，不一样。
But guys, we don't get to take the first 20 years and go, we want the good part and we don't want the other part.
但是我们不能够看一个人的生命，说我只要他那前面的生命好的生，我们不要他后面这个受苦的生命。
What I'm trying to say is, we can't expect our kids to pursue the American dream and still end up to be a Jesus.A loving follower of Christ.
我要说的是，我们没有办法期待我们的孩子让他们追求美国梦，然后最后又是一个 忠心爱主追求主为永恒生而活的人。
If we pray that our kids would be Jesus followers, then we get the first 20 years, and we also get the next 20 years.
如果我们祷告让我们的孩子成为跟随基督的人，我们会有前面的二十年，但是也会有后面的二十年。
You don't get to pick the part that fits the American dream and the other part that does not fit the American dream. You get it all.
我们不能够只有选全面的一个很跟美国梦一样的这个部分，后面那不要。当我们祷告孩子要成为跟随耶稣的人的时候
，So Joyce's life, Joyce Lynn's life is not a tragedy.
所以 Joyce 的生命不是一个悲剧。
It's not because the Bible says so. So
这不是一个悲剧，因为圣经就是这样子说。
I'll read through the questions, but guys, don't hesitate to open the mic and.And just ask the question.
Hi. I have a question for Gail.
Yes.
As a mother and also a missionary wife, and also from the picture that Pastor Wen shared, I saw youminister to some of the BM women. you have a lot of jobs to do. So how can you share a little bit from your own standing point, how you look at your ministry as, you know, the three roles that I said, you know, a missionary minister to women and the children and the wife and all sorts. And also on top of that, you're battling with your health. So what went on through that time? Like, you know, you have so many to do, and what was in your mind? Like, you know, how do you endure every day of juggling? Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's easy. It's definitely a challenge. But before I will actually share later in the 姐妹会里面会 share. Just in the beginning, I didn't think it was possible.I thought it's how do I do all those things all together with my limited ability and limited time. It's actually when I look at other, when the first of time when I look at other missionaries, how they handle that, it gives me an idea of what it looks like. But for me, my time is divided, you know, in the morning I homeschool, in the afternoon I serve with BM people or whatever.To visit the sisters at BM Church. But it's always a struggle, but I need to really remember it's not about what I do, but it's about the time, the opportunity God has given to me, especially after cancer. I think that sense of urgency becomes even more clear. If I have the time, first,we have the choice of, okay, should I stay in Taiwan and just take care of my body? But I think the sense of urgency really kicks in that, okay, if I have 5 more years to live, how am I going to live my life? And the answer seems obvious that to make Jesus known among the BM people, to help them mature in their faith, it makes the most sense so it's not an easy task day in and day out, but you know, you do what you can and trust in God.
Let me answer a little bit of Gail mentioned, there's that sense of urgency. After Gail's cancer metastasized back in 2017, I went to share at a church, somebody, in a real question and answer, a brother stood up and asked me this question, and he said, well, you guys went back to the field after 2012, the first time with cancer, and now the cancer has spread. Do you guys think, and then he couldn't finish the question. He just kind of stopped. And I knew exactly what he was trying to ask. Everybody in the room knew what he was what he was trying to ask. He was trying to ask, do you think going back in 2012 had an impact on Gail's cancer spreading? And so I finished, I said, hey, is that the question you want to ask? And he was very relieved. You could see the air let out in everybody's eyes. Everybody wanted to know the answer. Gail and I, that's the first question we asked. Were we irresponsible in going back? And we honestly examined our the last 5 years. And honestly, every time we were in New Guinea on the island, we ate very simply. Every time we go back, I mean, we would go back for checkups. Our first checkup after returning from Papua New Guinea, it was always good. But after, it was always after living in Taiwan or in America for 6 months, it's always the checkup before we go back to New Guinea. So having spent 6 months in your world, in suburban America or in Taiwan, that Gail usually gets a bad test. So honestly, it's I don't know what you guys eat or the air in Taiwan is bad, but honestly, we don't feel like living on the island impacted her health. So,
well,
yeah, you don't need to. Yeah. It's I think most people could understand English, but. Guys, allow me to say this. You may not agree with what I'm saying here, but what if serving on the mission field did have a negative impact on Gail's health? So what? What if that was the case? All the missionaries that we remember, all the missionaries that brought the gospel to China, to our ancestors, they all suffered. Many of them died. They buried their kids. We don't believe our decision to go back had an impact on Gail's health. But even if he did, at the end of the day, we are not trying to stay safe. We're not trying to preserve the next 40 years of our lives. How can we honor the past missionaries if we don't do what they did, if we're not willing to do what they did before? So, yeah. Couple questions here. This is about the church, and right now it's leadership. I share this in the morning. We are no longer on the island. The island, the church is indigenous. It's independent. We have five elders looking at shepherding the church. The locals are. They have risen up. They have gone out to another island to share the gospel. They're in complete control of outreaches and missionary efforts. When we go back, we don't preach. We sit there and the elders preach to us. So that's the state of the BM Church today. No, I think it's fine.
Hey, Pastor Chan, yes. Thank you for the powerful message. This is Dave. Really cool to listen to your message. Really, really cool. I like that. I would like to ask you, because our church, there are quite a few young brothers and sisters have the calling to be missionary. How can you know that if I am being called to serve as a missionary?
Okay. Let me have maybe 5 minutes on this, and thank you, David. This is such a crucial question.
Let me ask. Do you want to translate it?
Should Gail translate this or?
No, it could. Yeah, could it? Could yeah. Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
No. Oh, the question. 我们知道教会里面有很多弟兄姐妹，有年轻的弟兄姐妹觉得。 然后愿意回应大使命，那我们怎么知道说这个确认这个呼召？
Most missionaries that I know on the mission field.
我们在工厂上认识大部分的宣教师。Okay.
If you ask them how did God call you to be a missionary, most of them would say I don't have a calling.
如果你问他们说神怎么样呼召你成为宣教士，他们会说我们没有一个特别的呼召。
What they're saying is they don't have a supernatural calling.
他们的意思，我没有一个超自然的神奇的。
A lot of them would say, "I read the Bible and I saw Jesus' command, I am able to obey this command, so I came.
所以, 我读了神的话, 神有这样的命令, 我也愿意, 也可以, 我就跟随, 就跟随.
And a lot of these people, missionaries I know, they served, you know, for generations. Father and son serving in the mission field.
我所认识许多的宣教士，甚至是一代一代的都在工厂上服侍.
And a lot of times when we talk about calling, often refer to a supernatural calling.
当我们讲到呼召的时候，常常都讲到这个神奇的呼召。
I personally did not have a supernatural calling from God.
我自己也没有从神领受什么超自然的意象。
When I graduated from Gordon Conwell, when I applied to a church asked me, can you write down the day, the month, the year, the month, the day, the place, the time when God called you to be a pastor?
当我毕成学院毕业要成为牧师的时候，教会有一些教会问我说：“你告诉我，你神是在哪一年、哪一月、哪一日、哪一个时候呼召你成为全职的传道人？”
I would say, how do we discern our calling to the mission field?
我说我们怎么样分辨我们的呼召呢？
I would say before calling, the first step toward missions is a simple trust and obedience in Jesus' words, His commands and His promises.
我想在宣教之前是一个对神的话一个很清楚的信任跟顺服。
I've known young people who said they have a calling, but man, their spiritual life is not mature, their church life is incomplete, but they hold on to a spiritual calling and tell the church, I have a calling, you have to send me.
我也遇到许多的年轻人，他们觉得他们很有宣教的呼召，但是他们属灵的生命或者在教会的生活是非常不稳定、非常不成熟的。他们紧紧的抓住一个超自然的意向或者是感动，然后跟教会说：“我有这样的呼召，你们要差遣我。”
We need to know that Jesus' commands for missions is pretty explicit.
我们要知道说神命令我们参加大使命是很清楚的。
So I would say we need to move away a little bit from a supernatural calling's point of view to a simple obedience and trust in God's word.
所以我觉得我们应该要不要一直想到这个超自然的呼召，而进入对神的话的顺服跟信靠。
And this is how I explain missions calling.
这是我怎么样解释对宣教的呼召。
Why is it that some people would read Matthew 28 and then they would just move on to Mark chapter 1 because their plan is to finish reading the Bible that year?
为什么有些人可以读马太福音28章，然后接下来隔天就读马可福音第一章，因为他就是计划把福音、把圣经读完。
What Jesus commanded had no effect on these people.
在28章的大使命对这些读的人没有什么特别的感受。
But there's some other people, having read Matthew 28, they go, God, if my life, if I don't respond to this, if I don't respond to your word, then I can't go and keep on reading Mark chapter 1. I have to answer what you said here.
但是另外有一些人，他们觉得读了大使命之后说，神啊，如果我的生命没有对你做出一些回应的话，我没有办法就是这样继续的过去。
I would say, man, that's not because that person is more spiritual. That's the work of the Holy Spirit bringing our life and God's word together.
我会说这不是因为那个人特别的属灵，而是圣灵把我们的生命跟神的话做一个很清楚的连接。But
this calling or this act of the Holy Spirit bringing our life to His word is no less supernatural than having a vision to go to Africa.
那这种圣灵把我们的生命跟神的话放在一起，这样子的神的作为，并不就比那个。 这种超自然的感受或是感动更不重要。
We run the Radius training program now.
我们现在所做的是在 Radius Asia 的宣教训练。
We don't ask about calling, but we ask about the candidates, the students, his church life.
我们不会特别问他你怎么领受护照，但是我们会很详细的问他在教会的生活、教会的服侍。
We ask about his church involvement. Is he an involved member?
我们会问他在教会是不是很积极的参与服侍。
I would say when it comes to response to or calling, I would say the starting point for somebody going to missions is not the individual, but the church.
当我们讲到这个呼召这件事情的时候，我们觉得责任不再是在个人的身上，其实是教会很重要的责任。
In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas did not receive a calling. The Holy Spirit worked in the Antioch church, and the Antioch church actually sent out Paul and Barnabas.
在使徒行传十三章里面，我们看到不是保罗巴拿巴他们领受了什么样子的意象，而是教会圣灵给教会这样的使命跟意象，那教会决定差派保罗跟巴拿巴出去。
So I would say to all the young people who feel like God is calling you to missions, this is great. I mean, keep on moving.
我要告诉教会中的年轻人，神，你觉得神在呼召你参与宣教，很好，继续往前走。
But your calling should not be based on a solely a supernatural vision, but your calling needs to be built upon the very word of Jesus.
但是你的呼召不要是根基在一个特别的感动或者感觉，需要根基在神的话上面。
And your calling is not an individual thing. It needs to be examined by the church pastors. It needs to be examined by the church elders. They are part of that calling. God is moving RCCC along with you to obey the Great Commission.
而你的呼召也不是你个人的呼召，你的呼召需要得到教会还有教会的牧长们的认可还有检验，因为神要透过你的这个呼召是你跟教会一起来回应神的大使命。
So yeah, Elder David, that's my answer to calling.
对，这是我简单的回应。
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your sharing. Indeed, it's God's grace that we pray for our church, for our brother and sister who have such strong will to go out and to do the great commissions. And your message is well taken, truly well taken. Thank you.